Jen Richards when everybody gets on, but I invited her to come today. She is the Councilmember Ramlawi. How are you? Jen is the person we hired part-time to assist in public services for the most part, but she also has a First Amendment interest and has assisted me on these memos. So I want to thank her for her assistance with this, and so thought she should definitely come today and be introduced to the council members. So we have four of them on, and we have Councilmember Ramlawi is from the 5th Ward, which is my ward, and I won't editorialize on the importance of the 5th Ward to the city. I don't want to offend anybody else. The Councilmember Grand is in the 3rd Ward, and Councilmember Iyer is in the 4th Ward.
Where you grew up.
Where I grew up, yeah. So.
All wards are lovely.
Yeah. I don't know. I still think Brooklyn Avenue is maybe like the street from which may set the record from like number of council members from one street.
Yeah, well, that may not be viewed as a good thing, council member. I might add, you know.
So, because it also got into the 4th Ward, and Margie Till used to live on Brooklyn on the 4th. On the
Excuse me. I would like Councilmember Ramlawi to emphasize what he is saying, because I am very proud of that.
It's very important. It has the biggest voter turnout.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, friends. 4:15. Oh, yay. Oh, yay. May I have a motion to approve the agenda? Ramlawi, Grand, discussion of the agenda? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Agenda is approved. We have the minutes of February 9. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes? Moved by? Iyer?
Sure.
Grand, is there any discussion of the minutes? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved.
Mayor, I just want to interrupt for the benefit of Attorney Richards. Councilmember Griswold has come on, and she is a council member from the 2nd Ward. And so Attorney Richards assisted me with these memos, Councilmember Griswold, so I've invited her here today.
Excellent. So new business, city council meeting from council chambers.
That was Tom's requested topic, but Tom is not with us yet.
Well, let's take judicial notice of his absence and perhaps move on for a time. Let's roll with the community engagement policy then, absent Tom's presence.
That was shared for review, also upon Tom's request. I don't know if he had anything that he wanted to talk with you about, or if you've had a chance to review it yet, but it was a status update.
I have a comment.
Yes.
I was overwhelmed with the length and complexity of the document. And I was hoping that as a result of excellent examples of equitable community engagement in other communities, that we could fast track this. One of my concerns is that if we spend 9-10 months on an equitable community engagement process, can't even say it, we're going to have problems of inequality until we get there. So I can talk to Tom about it. It just seems to add an unnecessary layer of complexity. And maybe he misinterpreted the fact that it was a council resolution to be more complex. I plan to talk to Councilmember Song because she has a strong interest in this and shares my opinion that the process in Durham works very well. So So I guess the bottom line is I wouldn't want staff to spend any additional time on this based on my comments.
Can I just get clarification on what exactly, I apologize, kind of jump right into it, what part of the you directed? Is this towards the monthly report, or are you talking about what part?
I'm talking about the equitable community engagement work plan that was submitted.
You're talking about the resolution that was referred to this committee?
Yes.
And not the report, not the March 2021 report, correct?
Well, that's integrated into this. What I'd like to do is simply talk to Council Member Song and then clarify with staff. They may have misinterpreted what we were attempting to do.
My part, I have no objection. I would support Councilmember Griswold and Councilmember Song's going and figuring this out.
Okay, the less labor intensive, the better, as long as we achieve our goal.
Any objection to that? We require a resolution of some kind.
They may not
get that.
They may not even be mutually exclusive, though, right? Because if staff is going forward with this, and then there are also some recommendations.
Sure.
Yeah, we can ask those questions.
Yeah.
All right. So, Councilmember, work with Councilmember Song and make it better.
Will you be working with Tom Crawford in this as well?
Absolutely. Sure. Good point.
All right.
You don't show up, look what happens.
All right, I guess we have upcoming business.
Well, one issue I think is the issue of OMA on the at the end of March 31st. I think it's worth talking about the idea of going into public meetings when there still hasn't been a vaccine for everybody.
Mr. Post, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I see Tom is an attendee. Is that right? Is he?
Yeah, it's purgatory. Since he came late, you have to sit in the attendee for a while.
There he is.
I just promoted him. Thank you.
All right.
Just wanted to listen in.
So, Mr. Crawford, we've solved your problems with respect to community engagement policy. You'll be working with Council Members Griswold and Song. Do you have something for us with respect to meetings back in chambers?
This is the OMA issue. You're on mute.
You're on mute.
As far as a recommendation?
It's on the agenda, as I understand it, from your at your initiative.
So, Stephen, I thought actually you were going to speak more to where we are legally.
Yeah.
My understanding of where we are is the state Senate bill. Like, my understanding is the state is saying it expires March 31st. I had some conversation with Stephen, and there may be some local. What are you thinking, Stephen? Is it a different date?
Well, I'm concerned about it because we still have a public health issue out there that says you can't meet. You can't meet with over 25 people in a meeting. And so, again, they haven't thought through this well. You open it up publicly, then we have a situation where you get to, here's the 26th person, and they're in an open meeting, and we either violate the health code or the OMA, and that just can't be right. That is nonsensical. And so I think that they still need to work this out. And so I don't have any suggestion right now. Everybody's sort of watching it. But I think that you could still, under the health code, unless they change things, with the exceptions that are in there, declare a local state of emergency and say, we're complying with the health code or something. So I'll get something in writing to the group. But there's been a lot of discussion on the city attorney's listserv about how stupid this is, that they can't just move forward. And they're balking at the moving it to June 30th, although I think that's out there, but they're not thinking through that. So I think that some people through the MML are looking at it because it's just obvious as I've set it out.
And I would like to get a read from the group on where you feel as far as in-person meetings.
Can you be more specific with your question, Tom?
I would tell you that I think myself and a number of staff feel like the virtual meetings have actually been helpful. There will be a time limit, I suspect, on them, particularly at the board and commission level. I think it's been helpful. You all have your own meeting here. You may have different considerations. I personally would like to say, we are so far behind in vaccinations, you know, versus everybody else. I mean, I can't tell you how frustrated I am. I don't share this as much publicly, but you can go down to Rite Aid if you're a 65-year-old and next week or 2 weeks, 50-year-old. I still don't have the water employees. I can't even get, we're barely through police. We have gotten police, fire, and housing commission, and that is it. We have like 600 people to vaccinate. I don't think we're anywhere near coming back, like at least a month. So I'm really frustrated with the vaccination in person. Now, the reality is if we prioritize senior management and some of the managers, we could come back. But I personally am fine with the Zoom meetings for at least another month, maybe end of April, for sure.
Yeah. I agree. I share your frustration, Tom. I would love to have in person, but, you know, even myself and my employees, we were essential workers, and we're not even near on any list to be vaccinated. I can see us being virtual for the next 90 days to as long as we can. The public is going to be hesitant. I mean, that's a big part of our who we serve, obviously. And so, you know, our public not being comfortable coming into our meetings is a huge problem. And I know, I'm sorry to cut in, my colleague's got something to say.
I've got Councillor Iyer, then Grant. If anybody have any objection, can we like target 90 days? I'm okay with that. Councilmember Iyer?
Yeah, and I'll just be very brief just to respond to a couple things that Tom has said. I wouldn't be comfortable putting senior staff at the head of the line in front of our water employees and others who need to get vaccinated just so that they can, you know, safely come to meetings, which we, you know, have shown that we don't absolutely need to have in person, that, you know, we're getting the business done as it is. It's not ideal. Of course, there are some great benefits to it that I hope that we look closely at as we go forward in terms of providing access for community members to participate and to call in. So I think that's another thing we'll need to look at, but I'm perfectly comfortable staying virtual so that our city, so we can prioritize those in our community who really need to get vaccinated and those among our city staff. And I'm not willing to risk city staff just to get back in person.
Councilman Grant?
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with everything that's been said, and it's I think we need to model responsible behavior, right? And we're certainly not going to jump the line when our water staff can't get vaccinated so we can go to meetings. That's ridiculous and unethical. So I think we need to model safe practice and we're close. I know it's so far. I mean, I guess maybe there's something, Tom, that we need to, you know, is there anything we can be doing to advocate with our state folks? I know that the county, I saw, got some additional vaccine. But, you know, I feel like we're about to turn a corner. We just haven't turned it yet. And I'd like to go for 90 days. And if for some reason, you know, we get a huge shipment of J&J and we can all get one shot and be back to it, then great. But until that happens, you know, I think we need to stay the course.
Mr. Crawford, Mr. Postma, do you have enough?
I do. I'll point out that I would be inclined to keep City Hall closed until not only more of the essential workers, City Hall closed close to that time frame until we get more comfort, at least on the amount of vaccination that's in our community.
And I never want to put anyone at risk to come give public comment at a council meeting. That's similarly ridiculous. So, and I do want to make sure that at this group, that whenever it is that we are coming back, that we try to institute those changes, so that, because I think it's going to be a long time coming before people feel safe. And I think there are lots of other arguments to be made for accessibility, to be able to call in for public comment. So I want to make sure that even if we need to put a very small amount of money into our budget to make that happen for next year, that it's there.
Councilor Lowy?
Yeah, just on that last touch point there, it has been nice to have our community members engaging in our meetings because of the virtual format. Hopefully some of that can be extended, but we are also seeing, you know, folks that don't even live in the area call in and become part of the meeting and really part of the narrative. And I just, you know, will caution against that issue that we have, where before you had to be in person. And I'm not saying that's a requirement going forward, but it would be nice just to hear from our constituents rather than, outside disruptors when it comes to that. To the point, can we apply any more pressure on the county? I am frustrated with Mr. Crawford as a business owner down here. Where are our vaccines? We've been dealing with the general public and putting ourselves in harm's way for the last year now, and we're not even close. And it's just kind of disappointing, again, another chapter of disappointment in this whole saga. But we need to be pounding our, we're being, to this point, been extremely patient and nice. And at some point we need to start pounding our fists on the table, and the squeaky wheel gets the grease in this case. But we should be advocating for more of our frontline service employees to be vaccinated, as well as some of the others, the folks that have been on the front lines from the beginning.
I would just recommend that we talk to our lobbyists and maybe some of our state reps, because any changes to the OMA will be decided by the governor and at the state level. And so if we want to include the ability to have virtual public comment, at least, I think that will have to be incorporated into the OMA.
Yeah, but they're tinkering with it right now, and so any changes, the MML is certainly active on that. But if council has some things that they want to get up there through the policy committee or by resolution, I would certainly recommend it, because now's the time.
Okay, sorry, Ryan, I didn't mention the MML.
Yeah, just super briefly, I will bring it up at policy, and I do think, if it means that, nine parents with small children, or, people with disabilities, or, single moms, or whoever, can participate, and we get one out of state person, I think that's a win for that. That's a win for democracy. So it's okay by me.
Right. But on Councilmember Ramlawi's point, he has a good point on the OMA, at least when it was drafted, as you've heard me say this before, never really contemplated that you would have worldwide access to a meeting via phone. That just was not part of what they were dealing with in 1976. So I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that the OMA in some ways was drafted in a different era, and so that's what we're dealing with.
Staff have enough on this? Excellent. Information or upcoming business?
The I can go through briefly. I've now sent, I did what I told you I would do. We have a memo on public commentary. We have a memo that I got out today, and I'm sorry I couldn't get it out yesterday. I had some technical difficulties, but it lays out a lot of stuff in the OMA that I think is relevant going forward. I don't think that you need to make any decisions today on any sort of rules. I think that the next phase of what we're doing is getting out the public memos that you wanted that will cover a lot of this. And I hope to have both of them ready to add to the agenda for Monday night so that, that we can have more public discussion of this. But I think it will be useful to talk about I think in the course of this, the issue of this issue of reprimand, this issue of what's a prohibition, the issue of what you're trying to target, whether things are viewpoint discrimination. I think it is actually would be a good thing to talk about all of them. We could certainly start today, but I don't think that's it's really up to you if you want to digest the information. We can certainly do that, but I've certainly given you things to think about it, but I wouldn't expect that all of you would read something that, that is that lengthy, you know, just before a meeting. So I'll really take your lead on what you, how you want to approach this, but I do think this gives a good opportunity. And in some ways, you know, had we gotten it earlier, I could have dealt with it. But I think it's very important to look at these issues, what you want to do with the ability, for example, in the ethics rules to reprimand or to counsel and what you're trying to do. So I just leave it at that and then to take the lead from the council members today.
Council Member Romali.
Thank you. Well, there's a lot of issues, obviously, that are being discussed here. My concern are the newly adopted rules that have been viewed as unconstitutional, both by the ACLU and just real quickly, your memo that we received earlier today in the executive summary portion outlines how problematic these are. And therefore, I ask that these rules immediately be changed and repealed. I don't want to be living under what is viewed as unconstitutional rules. I aired my concerns and differences with them for months now. We can talk about the other aspects that Mr. Postman just touched on, how we would deal with issues with Rule 12 and issues that arise that require that exercise. But in this case, I strongly believe that we need to revisit this once again and take out the sections that were problematic. And we are currently instituting unconstitutional rules on members of council.
Well, I'd ask you reread what I've talked about because I've read the ACLU memo, and the issue, the cases that they cited on from the Fifth Circuit and the Bond case and so on. My point was there's a whole other body of law that makes very clear that reprimand is a right of the council. And is not unconstitutional at all. And so bodies regularly censure, reprimand.
I agree with you based on constitutional.
Point of order, Mayor. Can Mr. Postuma please finish his?
Councilmember,
this is a back and forth.
Yeah, this is a back and forth. I'm happy to but that's my main point is that. You know, I've reviewed what they have written, and the case that they're talking about that this is that this is somehow a penalty. Basically, the Sixth Circuit law and other law says, no, actually, it's not. And I acknowledge that the site that they have is says differently, but I think it would be, I certainly would never say that a possibility of a reprimand in any context is unconstitutional.
Well, I don't disagree with you, but I think it's based on behavior and not speech, for the most part.
No, that
I don't know what it's going to take, and it doesn't seem like this committee or body is willing to take this suggestion to the table. Whether it's going to take a lawsuit by the ACLU in order for council to change these rules, or council can change them voluntarily, it's up to this group and this body and to do so. But I feel I'm very uncomfortable to be under these rules, and whether this body wants to voluntarily change it or be challenged by the ACLU or another entity is up for discussion.
So council member, is your objection to the rule that it has a penalty that you think is appropriate, or is it because
I think it has a chilling effect on speech?
Right. And the interesting thing, and that's why I would encourage people to read the memo again about the Sixth Circuit, is that for a lot of things, they have said that a reprimand against speech itself is not unconstitutional. And there has been discussion that it doesn't provide a chilling effect. And so,
well, you know, that's going to be argued, obviously. You know, I'm not going to serve under these rules if I feel they're unconstitutional.
Right. But what I think it's also important is I think that, because I've talked to Councilmember Iyer, I actually think that it raises some bigger issues for me that I think you need to talk about is do you want behavioral prescriptions at all, or do you simply want to say, do you want the reprimand rule to say, okay, you can reprimand on a case-by-case basis to the extent that the law allows? That, you know, that's certainly other ways to handle it. And I think that Councilmember Iyer can speak for herself, but I think that people may be open to it, but it's worth that discussion, because I think that the rules itself really do need further discussion about what you're intending to do. So right now there's no prohibition for you to say things. It's just simply that if things are, you know, any council member, that if anybody's, you know, somebody can do a redress of grievance. And so that may be different from a prohibition. And so I think it's useful just talking about what we're trying to do, because or what you're trying to do, because that really has an impact on how the rules may end up.
Let's go Councilmember Iyer, then Grant.
Thank you. I just want to say, I said it at the beginning of the meeting before we officially started, but thank you, Stephen and Jennifer, for this incredible work that you've provided us. It's really impressive. And, you know, as somebody who has worked in and around First Amendment issues for all of my professional career, it's really fascinating to me to listen or to read this. And, you know, I was pleased to see, you know, the reaffirmation that we as a body have the right to reprimand, censure, whatever you want to call it, you know, another member of the body for really any reason we wish. And I do think it's, you know, kind of counterintuitive, but it may, you know, the way that you've laid it out makes sense that we are almost better off not stating the reasons that we might do so. And I mean, tell me if I'm toeing the line here with.
No, I think the best way to say it is, I think that you need to, I mean, look, you brought the prior rule. Obviously, other council members don't like the rule, but I think that to the extent that there's more of a discussion, you know, you don't have to do the rule. The rule actually is not a prohibition. So that is sort of a distinguishing factor. But whether that's true or not, if there are other things that the whole group wants to accomplish with the rules, I think that's a much better use of your time, because as I understand it from talking to you before, you're not even wedded to this particular rule.
No. For me, it was, I'll let Kathy speak for herself, but I felt that it was probably more fair to try to give other council members a heads up on, you know, what types of things we might be concerned about. The plain truth is that there has been a history of certain council members who are serving on this body making statements that are defamatory about other council members, accusing them of illegal actions and such. And that's, you know, it's not only harmful to the body as a whole, it's harmful to, potentially how a person might vote on an issue if they feel threatened that they're going to be accused of crimes. I mean, that's really, for me, what it comes down to. And so, I think we could talk about a whole other host of things that a council member might say or do that, you know, that council may want to censure, but, you know, what it comes down to is, we as the body have the right to name it when we see it. And, if it's easier to, to amend the rules and just not be specific, then that's okay too. Or we can look at a way to be more specific, but in a different way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it will be productive, as I said, to look at Rule 12, the reprimand. I think that in and of itself would be useful to look at, and it may in fact take care of other things, even things that people disagree with. In other words, you wouldn't necessarily have to resolve the point of disagreement because it would be taken care of in another way. And so, I'm here, neither here nor there about it because it's not my rule. And so I think that I've tried to lay out, but I do think that it's helpful to spend more time on it. And I can bring some suggested rules or alternatives. But again, I'm sort of making these up out of whole cloth because I want to know what problems you're trying to address. And I do think that our rules as a whole, I've given a bunch of guidance. We have, we don't cover things in our rules that other people have, you know, just a simple statement of, not being engaged in discriminatory acts or this and that. For whatever reason, we haven't done that. And again, maybe it's implicit. You know, we do have a reprimand for a violation of state law and discrimination. You know, arguably, it is a violation of state law, whether it's direct or hostile work environment or something. So in some ways we do it, but I think that looking at some of those value statements, you know, organizations sometimes like to have those out. We certainly do that for conflicts of interest and other things. But I've just tried to present some options for you to look more broadly about it. And again, my recommendation is that we that everybody read more carefully what I've written in some ways, because it's a lot to digest. It's subtle things, and then come up with what you actually want the rules to be and why, and not just have a one-off. We have one rule that was addressing one thing, and again, I that's your call, Councilmember Iyer. You brought it, the whole council agreed with it, but I think that, no one's running out and enforcing it right now. And I think the best thing for you all to do is get a sense of a full set of rules that everybody agrees on. And to the extent that you have that, that's really will go a long way to issues, because in some ways you raise issues from the past, but the past is over. I mean, you all need to move forward. And I think discussing these rules again is a good thing. And we didn't have a discussion about this particular rule before at the admin committee. And I think that would be, that would be useful.
Councilmember Grant.
Thanks. I'm comfortable with potentially making this language more around, expectations as opposed to, requirements. I think we need to be really careful when we throw around words like this is constitutional, this is not constitutional. Last I checked, one lawyer for the ACLU does not determine what is constitutional and what does not. So that's, what I mean, maybe I'm a little biased, but that's what I thought we had judges for. So I think we need to be really, really careful about taking in all the information that we have, understanding what the purpose of this is, understanding what it actually looks like in practice. And if there's suggested language to change it, bring that actual suggested language forward, but just striking it takes away from this goal of, it's just really puzzling to me, like why this fight to not trash your colleagues on social media. Like no one's trying to chill anything. You have the right to say whatever you want to say. No one's trying to stop your speech. It's just in any place, inside, outside, there are consequences for your actions. And I think we're just trying to set an expectation that like, let's try to do better and learn from some of the things that were done in the past that I think have different kinds of chilling effects, as Councilmember Iyer said, possibly on votes, but also on encouraging broad participation and on encouraging people to want to someday sit in these seats. Because who's going to ever want to do it?
Well, okay, Councilmember, I also would suggest that having some more specific rules to talk about might help focus that various options. And I think that could be done at the next meeting.
We were always welcome to, we were always open to having this be an iterative process. But I think we just need to be careful about the accusations of what we're doing and what we're not doing.
Well, Councilmember Grant, I would caution you though, the in the sense that a judge will ultimately make a determination, that is ultimately true, but in some ways that doesn't focus on what getting to the agreement about what the purpose, it's an alternative mechanism that I don't think is particularly useful.
I'm just saying I want us to be careful about making blanket statements about what's constitutional and what's not.
Well, I would never advise people to do that because even the example I gave, certainly the ACLU has given a Fifth Circuit case on the issue of the punishment, of reprimand. Well, that's out there. I don't deny that. My point is there's all sorts of examples in other jurisdictions where it's not held to be, and that's sort of the majority position. And so within that, but I can't say that it's that, there are different views on it because there are different cases on it. But, I've given you alternatives. And I think that on constitutional issues, they're often very tricky. So I don't, I don't make any claims beyond that. And in fact, I will be. I know the person who drafted this. I'm probably going to talk to him at some point. If the admin committee doesn't have any objection to it, because I think that I actually think that he'd agree with me when I discuss some of these things. So, I'm always happy to talk. We've had discussions before when an issue came up about the OMA and they got involved at one point in time. And so I don't mind that. And so we spent a lot of time on it. And again, my advice is to come with some rules to the next thing about proposals, because some of those proposals would probably include the deletion of this rule altogether.
I got Councilmember Griswold.
Thank you. After reading some of the legal opinion, I actually went outside and trimmed trees for half an hour to get a little attitude adjustment, and it hasn't been successful. I think I needed to chop a few down. But,
well, that's a good remedy.
Yes. I guess I got involved in this with good intentions, and I thought it was going to simplify some things, but I feel like it snowballed into some kind of toxic political, I don't know, tornado. And I think that some of our problems are really a symptom of a lack of trust. And if we focused more on leadership rather than management and control and reprimand, I mean, I feel like an abusive parent almost. Anyway, I got that out of my system. So maybe we need a rules committee, because it seems like we need lots of rules now and admin has other important things to do. And I'm also extremely troubled by the last few sentences of this 25-page legal document. I don't know if it was copied from somewhere else, but we're simply rehashing and bringing up problems that we already resolved, such as, does council want complaints about staff to first go to the city administrator? Of course we do. Why would we even mention that again? I don't know. We talked about it. And then some of the statements here, complaints about rude behavior towards staff, anti-union comments in the workplace, profanity in the workplace, those were all addressed and were not substantiated. So why are we discussing them again? I mean, that just weaponizes this whole process and makes me very uncomfortable.
Well, the purpose is not to make people uncomfortable. It's to cover all issues that could possibly come up with related to council rules. So there's nothing unusual about that. While the admin committee has talked about things, the memos for the whole council, Councilmember Griswold. So again, to the extent that things have been resolved and so on and so forth, it's not to bring up things to weaponize anything. It's just to lay out what issues are. So I'm sorry you felt that way, but that was not the intent at all.
Well, why are we talking about anti-union comments? Who makes anti-union comments? I mean, it's referring to me. I asked someone once if he belonged to a union.
No,
based
actually,
on his level.
Actually, that has nothing to do. It's not a reference to you.
Well, it made me think of that it was. So anyway, I just, again, I think this has taken on a whole life of its own, and I wish we had a rules committee. And when I got a legal opinion today, I was hoping it was going to be on the Gelman brief. I just think we've got some really important things going on right now, and somehow we need to sort of isolate this problem and get it solved.
You know, and in fact, that's certainly an option. As you know, you collapse the rules committee into the admin committee. There are people, I know Councilmember Iyer and yourself want to take a stab at some of these rules. But to the extent that this body feels that a more intense, an intensive look at this in some other forum, that's really your call. I can't judge that for you. If what you're saying is you don't want the admin committee to get bogged down on it, that's certainly an opinion that the admin committee can make a decision. I don't weigh in one way or the other. I'll work with anybody. I'll bring stuff back to you. If anybody has any specific rules or whatever, I can help draft them. Either way, whether I'm working with you, with your group, or a subset of this group, or another group, makes no difference to me. It's still work that we're happy to do.
For my part, I think that this is a lot more conversation than is necessary about this topic. I guess I'd suggest that Councilmember Iyer and Griswold go forward and make some recommended changes to the rules, which strike me as ultimately pretty simple and of not a great deal of consequence, but would be able to move this forward. And you could bring it back at the next meeting, and I think we could just call it a day. And I asked, are the two of you all right with that? Excellent. I got Councilmember Amlawi.
Thank you. I know we've beaten this to death, but I do feel that there's a chilling effect here. The ACLU agrees with me, and it's not just one attorney. It's actually the whole membership that voted on it, the leadership. It wasn't just one attorney. It was a unanimous vote by the committee that reviewed these rules. And I didn't bring these rules to the table. They were brought by my colleagues. It's not my responsibility to come up with a replacement for them. I just want them taken out, just that last part that I've gone in circles over. And if it doesn't get taken out, then it'll be challenged. And how do we want to spend our time? I guess that's all up to us. I think we've spent too much time on this matter to begin with. But I won't just sit idly by and allow these rules to be imposed on me, even if it doesn't change my behavior, because I don't really abuse that anyhow. So that's up for this. The two council members assigned to come back next month, hopefully they come back with some alternatives, and or otherwise I get help from somewhere else.
Yeah, I think
that's a question.
I'm happy to work with them, and I'm actually happy to work with anybody. All I was going to say is, if people have continued concerns, I'm happy to talk to them, and I'm happy to talk to the drafter of the letter at the ACLU. Happy to do it and incorporate that in any rules coming back, Councilmember Romali.
Councilmember Ryan.
Yep. Just wanted to say I'm happy to do this. And, as Councilmember Grand said previously, we've always said that this is an iterative process. This is a work in progress. I really would encourage all council members, not just the council members on this committee, but all council members to really read and digest the very, very thorough memo, 24-page memo that we got from our attorneys. It lists all the cases, not just the ones that bolster one side, as the ACLU memo did. And that was, really perplexing to see them use such an outlier case while ignoring all the other cases that that really supported what we were doing. I encourage Mr. Postuma to reach out to the author of that letter and try to figure out, try to have a conversation there and maybe figure out what happened.
I talk to Attorney Rommel all the time. So
that's great.
That's certainly no hardship. And again, for Councilmember Romali's point is I'm going to get these public memos out, and so there can be a broader discussion. And I welcome that. And so that's something that I'm committed to further the process so that people can be talking about the same thing. And I appreciate the direction that came down from the council, and I appreciate the manner in which it was done. And I think it allows everybody to talk about things on the same page. So, Mayor, I know you want to move on, but I think that my point is the process is important, and I'm happy to do it. Okay.
Any other discussion about this? Any other topics for new information, Mr. Post, Mr. Crawford?
No, I'm sort of burnt out on new information. took a lot out of me when I told people, Councilmember O'Malley, when the public memos go out, the beard comes off. So it's just like I've delivered the tablets from Mount Sinai. You have it all, and that's what's going on. So all right,
all set, Mayor.
Excellent, Councilmember Griswold.
I've lost my agenda here, but I thought we were going to talk about the checklist. Is that further up on the agenda?
I think
it was not on the agenda. It can be construed as upcoming or upcoming business.
Sure. Are we ready to move to that?
Sure.
Great. Okay. So I apologize for the iterations, but I was trying to incorporate feedback. So, thank you to Tom and Kathy for getting me feedback. That was great. And I tried to incorporate it in line with what Jen and I worked on, where it made sense. So this is really a draft that was sent. I don't know, should I share a screen or how do we want to do this? Okay. Just open up the document.
We all have the document, but
or we can all just look at the document.
No, go roll with the screen. I'm fine.
Okay.
I made you a co-host, so you should be able to share now.
Okay, thanks. I just was trying to get it open before I. Okay, can everyone see that? Okay.
You bet.
All right. So Jen and I met, and we just talked, and really, this was coming out of some conversations about, particularly with new council members, but really everyone, just how can we, in a really optional way, have something that we could potentially attach to a proposed council action, so a resolution or an ordinance change, that could just provide some information about the process that was followed. And it was also coming in reaction to, you know, late added items, items that we were spending a lot of time talking about at the table because they really just weren't ready to be presented at that meeting. So to hopefully avoid hour-long conversations about something that's just going to be referred to a commission, if we think about some of these questions ahead of time, how can we then bring things forward with it, with, you know, an agreed upon process. And it's certainly not meant to be that you would have to do all of these things. And we don't even know what these things are yet. These are just ideas for these things before you bring something forward. So the format would obviously look different. This is just kind of notes and questions. But we talked about a goal, which is really to bring forward, you know, strong resolutions and ordinance changes that are grounded in common best practices followed by all council members. And then what would that look like in practice? It would be attached to a council action and it would communicate the process both for our colleagues and to the public. So some of the questions that we thought about, and then I also tried to integrate based on feedback I've received over the past couple of days, what problem is this trying to solve? Is this different than what we're currently doing? So would this replace something or is it additive? Are there best practices or models from other communities? How does this align with any of our city's strategic goals, you know, particularly around equity? Did you talk to city staff? And there might be some notes like, who'd you talk to? What did you talk about? Did you consult with the attorney's office? Did you work with other members of council, particularly those that have expertise. It affects their ward. They sit on a relevant border commission. Was this something that came out of a border commission recommendation? Does it align with their work plan? Did you talk to anyone else? And then something that really came out of some things that have happened with developments in my ward lately, where we were able to work with staff ahead of time. Are there questions that have been coming up, and did you attach anything that answers those questions, data that can help answer some questions that you expect to receive around this action or any feedback? So clearly, and it might be, I didn't talk to this council member because I already have four other co-sponsors and I didn't want to violate OMA. It doesn't have to, so this idea was just to bring this and then for Jen and I to go and develop some sort of format that it could be more of a checklist. And I've gotten some feedback from some people about where this would go. So, sorry, that was a lot of talking.
All right, Councilmember Amlawi.
Do you want me to keep it up or should I stop sharing?
I have it on another device, thank you.
Okay.
Or I'm not sure about everyone else though. I appreciate the time and effort put in this. I think it was about a year into my term that I took a course that the Michigan League offered newly elected officials. And I was like, wow, this should have been what all elected officials go through. I think it was very valuable for many reasons. You're not hearing it just from what you think is a biased source or a side. You're getting it from somebody who you don't even know or heard from before, but has got a lot of experience. Also, the fact that you hear from people in different communities, in different jurisdictions, and they're, it's like a support group of sorts of elected officials who, you know, talk about the same issues they have in different parts of the state. So I think that this checklist is good, but I think to codify it would be problematic. I'm not sure if codifying it is a goal that's being set out for.
It's not.
But for, you know, a body that has 9 out of 11 people, you know, two and a half years and less, it's a very inexperienced body in terms of the years served. People didn't come from other bodies of government onto the city council either. So it's a really young group in that sense. And so having this is helpful, especially again for the new members. But I think after you have served for a while, you understand that these are what you normally want to do to strengthen your position and resolution. I think the issue of late additions is a problematic one, and I think that's one we should really be trying to focus on our next meeting. I thought we would have perhaps had addressed it by now, and that is a big problem. And I would like to see if we can have that codified so that, you know, resolutions that come in after our timeline or for submitting agenda questions has passed, that it requires a certain threshold of votes to be allowed to be on that agenda. Many times things are put on last minute and that aren't very time sensitive, that could perhaps wait for the next meeting. So that's an issue I think we need to work on, and that would help force this process to be more practiced. People would have the time to reach out and ask questions and do the right thing. I think when there's a rush to get things on the agenda the last minute, people don't do their homework and others can't follow along what's going on. So I do definitely believe that, you know, that's a definite one issue there. And then, you know, requiring people to get training, I think there needs to be some sort of training rather than a requirement or a checklist of sorts, but training I think would be helpful.
Councilmember, I'll add that to the rules that I bring back to the next meeting about a proposed rule on the agenda. We've gone back and forth, and I'm happy to just add it to the rules if you'd like.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. The suggestion on the late additions?
Yeah. I have language. Somebody's asked me about it before, and I'm happy to bring that to the next meeting.
Our admin meeting?
Yep.
Yeah, please. And if you want to send that ahead of time for review, that would be great.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you.
Councilor Griswold?
I've been communicating with Julie on this, and I also want to support what Ollie said. We need better training as new council members, because we learn a lot about how the city operates, but we don't learn as much about how to be policymakers. And I had some of that training when I was on the school board, and we don't have it. And even today, I came across, I was looking at the agenda for a resolution that the Environmental Commission passed and sent to council to vote on, and the resolution wasn't there. And so I had to question, what is the process? If a commission recommends something to go to council, is it the council liaison's responsibility to do it or not? So I think that's areas that we need to improve. And I just want to say that staff were very responsive. We got the problem taken care of. It's on the agenda now, but it would have helped if it had been a procedure that I knew about. And the last thing is, I really want to empower the commissions to give us more advice and be stronger in that role. At the same time, I don't want to send resolutions to commissions to die. So we've got to find a balance there. So, and thanks again for this checklist.
And Kathy, can I just, I know you had sent a question about referrals, and I think my leaving it out was that the idea is that we want it to go through the commission and not refer it, because do you know what I'm saying? Because it's already been vetted.
Yes, although the opposite side of that is we don't want commissions out working on things, wasting their time if it's something we're not going to support. So I think it's fine the way you have it.
Yeah. And I could see a sense where, like, you'd have a resolution to ask X commission to give us feedback on whatever, and that is the resolution in and of itself, right?
Okay, I agree.
Councilor O'Malley?
Thanks. And I'm not sure if Mr. Postman had time to review this list, but whether there was any conflict with the city charter and how resolutions are brought forward. But I don't think there is, but I just wanted to see, make sure that we don't have any conflicts with anything that's being suggested within the city charter.
No, I will look at it. I confess I have not been able to look at it, even though it came in yesterday as I was trying to get this out. So I will look at that also.
And then when we refer things to boards and commissions, would it be proper to say we'd like this back within 30 days or 60 days, or is that improper to put any time of timeline on things that get referred down to boards and commissions? And I have another point to make after that. Would it be too encumbering to do that?
Mr. Crawford?
I would say it may depend on the commission. For example, the Planning Commission is a decision-making body and has a lot of things kind of teed up, particularly in a shorter time frame, whereas some advisory committees may not be as busy. I don't know that there's a solid answer to that one. If you feel that you're not getting responses from committees when you should, I think that's something that that I might be able to administratively pursue and see if I could approve that. But I need to watch for some examples.
It's just a concern of mine that if you're not represented on boards and commissions and you're a council member, perhaps maybe your policy initiatives may not move as quickly as you'd like, or maybe not move at all. And, with all due respect to everybody, that is a concern that if you are underrepresented or not represented on boards and commissions and you are a council member, how do you get anything done? You're going to be beholden to boards and commissions that are mostly filled by the mayor. And not say there's anything adversarial about that, but perhaps there's an issue or a policy distinction there that differs, and you can't bring up legislation because you're tied down to boards and commissions that are not elected. It's good to have that on your resolution when you come to the body and say it has been supported by the Transportation Commission or the Environmental Commission or the Energy Commission, but all three of those commissions I don't sit on and I don't have sway with. So I'm not saying that it would prevent me, but I'm just saying that I'm not privy to that as other members of council are currently to these boards and commissions. And hopefully it's not getting in the way. It hasn't gotten in the way to this point, but it's just, it's a possibility.
Jen, I guess you go for it.
Yeah, there's nothing punitive about this at all. It's completely optional. It is a way to sort of, help council members organize their thoughts and, the process of what they need to go through. I really appreciated working on this because it was really helpful to me. There are things on here that I never would have thought of on my own. I probably would have learned them months or years from now. But this really helps everyone get up to speed really quickly. And then it helps us all see, if somebody uses this tool, again, it's optional, but if they use it and they attach and it gets attached, then we can all see the work that's been done. When it comes to, interfacing with commissions that we don't sit on, I think that's one of the key points here, is that you want to make sure that you're reaching out to and engaging the council member who is the liaison to the commission that's relevant, so that as a courtesy and because they're going to be most able to work with the commission to get that feedback that's necessary.
If it's okay, I agree, in an ideal world, but this is obviously, we know this body has differences with each other. And, we should be able to, I fear that there's going to be a gatekeeping type of system placed where if you don't kiss the ring of a certain commission or board, then you don't get, your policy advanced. And so, again, I appreciate the intent behind this and trying to get people to learn how the process works. And once you learn and you do a quick read, it's done. You're not going to have to keep coming back to this after year three of being on council. You know it. So I think what we need mostly is the training and the onboarding. Like what was said, we are given good information based on how the organization works and the departments and who's who and how big they are and what their budgets are. But training as a legislative body, we're not given those tools. And I think, again, having some courses that the Michigan Municipal League offers would be a huge step forward.
Councilor Grant?
As someone who's in year seven, and who worked with someone who's in year one, I think there's a lot of value in this, not just for new members, but really to be able to communicate with colleagues the process that you went through. So I want to be really clear about the intent. It's not meant to gatekeep. It's meant to, to build off some of the experience when Jen and I were talking about this, when I did it right, what did it look like? And when I kind of messed up and I rushed through it, what did it look like? And just thinking about when it was done well, these were some of the things. And you would never do every single one of these things, right? I mean, I, maybe I shouldn't say never, but the point is that you do some of these things, and that it's not just to communicate to colleagues, it's also to communicate to the public. Because I think a lot of times when we have things that are not ready, and if you had this, then you would look at it and you could say, oh, they spoke to the attorney's office. Oh, this is who they worked with in the attorney's office. Oh, they spoke to the staff member. Oh, you know, I think about Lockwood, for example, and Travis and I had a lot of questions from the community, and staff was so helpful in attaching data. These are the maps. These are the landmark trees that will be taken out. None of them are adjacent to the property. You know, this is where they moved this. This, you know, it's really meant to just get things that are vetted. It's not meant to be adversarial. It's not meant to, there's certainly not any ring kissing going on. It's just about, you know, going through process. And I think different people would want and require different kinds of training, but it's just meant to guide it. And that's why we came here trying to seek some feedback, because I don't know that all of these are the right questions to ask and include. It's just ideas. And I think having some people give me feedback already was beneficial. We may want to really pare it down. It might be too, you know, it might be too much. But it's just meant to sort of recognize what we've seen this last year and what I've seen over the last 7 years and what might be helpful.
Mr. Crawford?
Regarding the training comment, in the training materials, we supply the MML materials that we have. However, if it's useful, what we could do is really once those dates come out, which are not, they don't come out, I think, until around the time you're elected or after, we could share that with all of the new council members and encourage them to go as a group. I don't know whether your suggestion includes existing council members to attend for some cohort building refresher or what, but we could certainly take new council members and try to get that on their personal calendars as early as possible.
Council members, Iron Grand, do you have enough for the time being on this?
Yeah, just please send feedback. Be great.
Any other new or upcoming information? Thank you all. We now come, Councilmember Romine.
Sorry, I was just wondering if there was any update from the attorney's office on succession planning for his office, the timeline, just to give us kind of a refresher real quick. I'm sorry I don't have this out, but.
I did send you something earlier on a general one and indicated that I would have on the time, I did have a timeline in there that is set out pretty specifically, but I'm still filling in some details, but the overall issue you already have, and I will supplement that by the next meeting. But you have a firm timeline, and I can forward that to you again.
Yeah, if you could supplement any additional information you have, yep, on that timeline, we need to take some steps on that.
Yep.
It's already March, so.
Yep.
Thank you.
We now come to public comment general time. Public comment general time is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to council and community. Well, sure. By matters of municipal interest, if you to speak at public comment general time, I think you're already signed up by, you're already connected by dialing 877-853-5247. 877-853-5247. Ms. Higgins, is this actually going out? Do I need to read these things? There's a people.
If you could please, yes, they need to dial *9 if they wish to speak.
Fair enough. Folks who are in attendance, if you wish to speak at public comment, please enter *9. Speakers will have 3 minutes in which to speak, so pay close attention to the time. Our substitute clerk will identify when 30 seconds are remaining, will notify you when 30 seconds are remaining and when time has expired. When your time's expired, please conclude your remarks and cede the floor. there anyone who'd like to speak at public comment? Please indicate by entering star 9 now.
Mayor, no one has their hands up.
See no one? Public comment is closed. Can I have a motion to adjourn, please? Move by. Councilmember Iyer, second by Councilmember Griswold. Discussion? All in favor? Closed. We're adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Good evening, folks. Take care.
Thank you.